Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Dr. Who? No, not Dr. Drew. Dr. Bruce is in the hizzy tonight. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Bruce, you know him as Dr. Spaz. He fills in for Dr. Drew every time someone drops a nickel
in
somewhere.
Say,
well, wherever. Oftentimes he goes to as far as the East Coast. I've seen him go to Canada when someone dropped a nickel or whatever their form of currency is over there. Dr. Bruce is a board-certified physician, although he should enjoy that while it lasts. He is an expert at emergency medicine. He also is an expert at the laser, tattoo removal.
Pulse light treatments.
Removing. Yeah, if you got any questions tonight about things that you can do with a laser, a lot of people want to know if they can take stretch marks off with a laser, maybe birthmarks, certainly tattoos or something that Bruce can do. Knows the Botox, knows all the cosmetic stuff that doesn't involve getting a scalpel out.
Right.
And what else? Emergency? Oh, and addiction medicine specialist. So he's got it all. It's really like three Drews, and then when you see him in person, it's like a half a Drew.
Oh, I knew it was coming.
Dr. Bruce, always a delight, though, and a friend of the show. A different show when Bruce comes in, but not necessarily a worse show, depending on how funny I can be for how long.
Yeah. How much
about how funny you are.
How abusive you can get.
That's right. Well, you know, there's great love and there's great respect between the two of
that's
us.
That's right. You even influenced my four-year-old, Joey.
Really?
For his fourth birthday, he wanted cordless power tools.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Black & Decker 14.4 volt.
Wow. Don't give him a Black & Decker, though. That's
I knew you'd...
That's junk.
Yeah.
That's junk.
He's 4 years old, Adam. He's cutting cardboard boxes with a table saw.
He should be... Okay. All right.
And his sister, Elizabeth. I should say hi to Joey and Elizabeth.
That's good.
Yeah.
Next time I see him, I'll give him a nice big high
Uncle
five.
Uncle Adam, he knows about you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you've met him, but you don't remember.
Nice big three-fingered high five.
Yeah.
All right. Couple of quick things before we get down to business tonight. Bruce, I know this is going to hit close to your home, too. We got no milk. Drew and I come in here, we're big coffee drinkers, and Bruce likes to tilt the job himself. And for me, splash of milk. Now, radio stations traditionally have coffee that's like, comes from Smart and Final, and it comes in little grenade-sized packets, and the creamer used just says whitener on it. They're not even going to commit to the word cream.
Yeah.
It's just, look, we're not going to tell you this is going to make your coffee taste any better. It's going to change
the color. Right.
We'll commit to that.
Yeah.
If you took some erasers, some chalk erasers, and just banged them out over your coffee mug, it would have about the same effect.
The taste is good. Might not get
marginally better.
Right.
One would argue. Somewhere about 2 years ago, maybe three, I made the... I'm a prima donna. I said, you know what? We need some good coffee and we need some milk to dump into it. And let me tell you something. That kind of talk doesn't fly at the radio station. It's like, oh my God, we've got a troublemaker.
The guy wants a green room.
We've got a troublemaker. This guy wants coffee and milk?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, Your Highness, Mr. Trump, what's next?
Yeah.
You need a stretch limo, or should we take you via helicopter into work every night? I was like, look, it's $8 worth of coffee a month and $2 worth of milk. We're going to need it. So they said that.
Oh, they agreed?
Oh, no.
Oh.
No, it went up to the boss man.
I was going to say, a memo to the corporate office.
Went to the boss man, and the boss man said, oh, no, impossible. They'll not be... We'll not be giving this away. And so I said, oh, yes, we will. And then Drew said, oh, no, we'll reimburse you because he's a pussy. He's such a pussy. You know, this guy folds like a pup tent every time anything ever comes up.
That's shocking.
I'm always getting him more money. He owes me. You know how much money he owes me from just holding out and trying to get more money for us? All right. I'll tell you off the air. But anyway, the point is he immediately folds. And I say, no, no, no. No, you're paying for it. And then I go further, which is I'm not coming in.
Oh.
You have to get us the coffee. I'm not coming in.
So you didn't even demand half and half in Starbucks. You're just talking about milk and decent coffee.
Decent coffee and some milk. So eventually, because I threatened not to come in anymore, we actually have coffee and milk. The problem is the milk goes into the refrigerator and gets stolen by the vermin at the radio station.
Even
and
with the Loveline memo
even
on.
I'd say more sticker. So with the Loveline yeah, right. Sharpie insignia on it. Does it go? Producer Ann bought a quart on Friday. It is Sunday. It is nowhere to be seen. And first off, I got a message to the lowlife that used my quart of milk, and now I'm using the whitener. I will find you. I will hunt you down. I will do horrible things to you. I hope you're lactose intolerant. I hope you explode, or I hope there's something, some mite in that milk that is eating your intestines out as we speak, because you're lower than pond scum. You're vermin. Do you hear me? And here's the thing about radio station. We don't employ children. Youngest guy here is probably 29.
Yeah.
It's not like, all right, the kids got into the teachers, into the faculty lounge. These are a bunch of guys in their 30s walking around just pilfering other people's dairy.
Oh, it's skullduggery. Absolutely.
It is skullduggery to the highest
Absolutely.
Degree.
And it's a slippery slope.
And when you go into that radio, I'll tell you something, everybody. They ought to have field trips. You know what they ought to have? It'd be like a Scared Straight for people who want to get into radio. Like in Scared Straight, you know, kids are getting in trouble. They go to prison and they have some 300-pound black guy going, give me your goddamn shoes! Quit eyeballing me! All yeah. they got to do for Scared Straight for people who want to get around, take a quick tour of the pathetic graveyard known as the kitchen. Open that refrigerator. First off, people in their 40s should not be writing their names all over $1.85 worth of grub.
Yeah.
Number one, I found a Chef Boyardee ravioli can, meat ravioli. Chris, back me up. I brought it in here a few months ago. Meat ravioli right, can right, yeah. with three raviolis left at the bottom
sick.
Of it and a crumpled up paper towel, and not a brand name, not a Bounty or a Viva, but the brown kind of industrial institutional paper towel mashed up and pushed in the top of it like as if it was going to keep it fresh.
And nobody yes. took that.
No, nobody took that. The point is you understand, a man who's probably in his late 30s
right.
decided, I got to keep this 11 cents worth of horrible,
Pathetic.
Horrible Italian cuisine so it can just stink up the rest of the crap. It is filled, that refrigerator is just filled with crap. Just as some of it should have been thrown out when this station was playing oldies back in the late 70s. Other stuff's like, it's adult. You mentioned adults stealing food from other adults, adults writing their names on stuff
yeah.
like it's their underpants and their camp. Pathetic.
What you need to do is get a soy milk cart and pour your half and half in that. Nobody's going to touch soy.
Oh, I am PO'd.
Yeah. But
and then you're outraged, too.
I'm outraged because I don't have any coffee.
It's skullduggery, is it not?
Absolutely. Skullduggery is afoot.
Oh. Oh, yeah. It's a foot. Yeah. No, skullduggery is not... Engineer Chris thought you meant that a skullduggery meant it was a foot.
It was a foot.
It is.
It is a foot.
It is upon us.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
As they'd say in Long Island.
That's right.
I really didn't know what that meant.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's a foot,
sure.
whatever it is. You ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Brian? Let me tell you something about this.
That's a bad omen.
skullduggery is not only at hand, but a foot.
Yeah. It's online.
I just worked the hand in, too. Brian? All right. You're 0 for 1.
He's in the echo chamber, it sounds like.
Dr. Bruce picked out the first call, and we rolled the dice. We got nothing.
Okay. How about...
Let me say this. Don't do all the reaching. Just point, will you? Let me say this. I was watching... I sit home on weekends, and I just watch the History Channel.
Yeah.
And I just watch all the Nazi films.
Absolutely.
That's all I do. And I keep thinking, we got to bomb those Germans one more time. We got to hit them because they're due. And if they're not due, they at least deserve it. When you sit around and watch World War One, World War Two stuff. But here's what I'm thinking. I've been waiting for a long time to see an infantryman or anybody in the German army with the Hitler mustache. I saw it last night.
Oh, no. The present day?
No, not the present day.
Oh.
No, I'm watching World War II stuff. All right. I'm not looking for new stuff. Yeah. We're not interested in the Germans today.
That's true.
But that would be a good, that would be a crazy move. Ooh. To pull the Hitler mustache in the German infantry 2004. But I watch all the footage on the History Channel. They have all, they'll have the parades where the guys are goose stepping and they're big walking. Everyone's going by on horses and stuff. Never. And they always do it on, Hitler's henchmen. They show all his generals and they have the infantry and everything. They have thousands of people. You'll never see that Hitler mustache on anybody. Saw it on a guy last night.
I put in a couple hours on History Channel last night to post.
Did you?
World War II, the Russian invasion of
1943. Guy had the stash.
I've never seen
it. Had the Hitler stash. You've never seen it, have you?
Because it's probably foreboding.
Is it? Foreboding is afoot. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. Because anybody that tried to imitate the Fuhrer must have been.
Yeah, but isn't it a homage to the Fuhrer to sport his mustache?
I don't know. But when you mention that, that's a
point
very observant.
They scanned over thousands of infantrymen over the years. I've been watching the History Channel, all the World War stuff, too. Never seen a guy. Last night saw an infantry guy with the Hitler mustache. And I thought, I don't know, could be ass kissy. I bet the other guys in the unit's like, oh, helmet, such an ass kiss. Look at that brown nose with the Hitler mustache. What's next? Huh? You got to start parting your hair in that weird Hitler way.
You never saw that. You never saw any of his personal, the way his hair was coiffed. None of the other guys sported
that look. Last night, saw the stash. I've been waiting for years to see the Hitler stash on another guy in the German army in 1942, and I found it last night, and I was able to rest easy. All right.
Very good.
But it's a good point. No one brings it up. I mean, normally, let's say George Clooney grows a goatee and half of Hollywood grows a goatee.
Yeah.
I mean, when the guys on the top are sporting a look, Jackie Kennedy Onassis was, or Jackie Kennedy was in the office, she got her little pillbox thing,
right.
And all the chicks got it. I mean, that's a natural thing. You see the leader, and you start picking up his look.
Yeah, the Ayatollahs, they all.
Right. That's crazy beard and a mop on their head. But here's the whole thing. That mustache was effed up because no one went for it.
Yeah.
If they thought it looked cool, I bet they would have gone with it.
Yeah,
I don't think it would have been a slap in the face.
No, it definitely didn't look cool. I thought it made him look effeminate.
Yeah, it wasn't a good look, but I'm saying, I think if he had a nice goatee or Van Dyke, I bet you a lot of guys in the German army would be sporting that.
Yeah.
All right.
Very observant.
Found some common ground here. Oh, by the way, that's how you know your look sucks. When you're in charge of a nation, you're sporting a very specific look, and nobody copies it.
Although I think anybody would have thought, am I going to get killed if I do this, or is it going to
be... Yeah, but why would, Jacqueline Kennedy kill some woman and put a pillbox hat on and wore her outfit or got her hair done like that?
So you're comparing Camelot to the Fuhrer's regime.
That I am. And there's skullduggery afoot, I can tell you that right now.
I know, I'll regret saying it.
All right, now hold on a second. All right, Chrissy.
Hi, how you guys doing?
You're 21,
good.
What's going on, baby doll?
I have a very, very, very high sex drive, and it usually gets in the way of my relationships. Most men I date, or guys I date, don't have as high of a sex drive as I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm dating somebody right now, and he keeps up pretty well. He does okay, but... I feel like sex gets in the way of me being intimate. Like when we have a moment or a chance to be more intimate, I tend to just.
All right. Well, let's flip over all the cards here and try to figure out: is your dad around? Did he leave you? Did he die?
He left when I was 11, but we have a pretty good relationship.
When did he come back? Did he leave for a while, or did he just move out and stay in touch?
He moved to a different state, and we talk almost every day, but, he left.
Dad moving out of state, by the way, at 11 is...
very traumatic.
Screw you up, especially chick.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, all right, well, that's going to... You're going to have intimacy problems. And he moved away when you're 11, and he moved into what state?
He moved to Vermont.
Mm-hmm. And where were you living?
In Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you don't learn to connect with men appropriately. Some of these things are not learned the way they should be if your dad wasn't around. It doesn't take overt abuse sometimes to set in motion some of the things you're describing. It may be an intense drive to intimacy that's translated as a sexual attraction or sexual energy.
Chicks are looking for an excuse to be nutty in a relationship anyway, so all it takes is just a little snap of the underpants at age 11 for dad to get up and split.
All right,
to screw you up.
I don't agree with the first part of what you said, but
no. Look, women are they're more highly strung than men.
Right, that's true. Right. They're more sensitive, and men are...
All right, so Chrissy, how often do you want sex, by the way?
Each day, God. Well, my boyfriend and I will have sex, like, all day long, if he can, and I don't know. It's, like, it's never enough. It's the weirdest thing. I could have sex forever. Like, we'll go, like, 7 times, and then we'll stop, and we'll go out, and then we go back to the house, and I just want to have sex again. And it's just really bizarre. And when I was younger, I mean, I started having sex when I was 18, and I thought that was normal. I didn't know that it was so weird. And then talking to friends and other boyfriends, they all thought that I was insane. They were like, you know, that's all you want to do.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, look, here's the whole thing. First off, you want to slow it down a little, change your name from Chrissy to Christine. That's my mom's.
That's one of those names.
My mom's name is Christine, and I know for a fact she's probably been late 5 times in the last 55 years. All right, at least I'm praying. That's all it's been. So that's number one. Chrissy, that's a sex pot name. Christine, that'll slow you down a little. So already you're down about 4 times a day if you just start calling yourself Christine.
After you do that, you need a good psychiatric evaluation and seeing a therapist. And there's a difference. Psychiatrists, there are certain biomedical disorders in which you're hypersexual, so you need to be screened.
Do you have an orgasm? Do you orgasm?
No, almost never. That's the other thing. It's really hard for me to orgasm.
Can you imagine as a guy, like, oh, yeah, I'm going at it every day, all day, weekends and holidays included. Do you orgasm? Not so much.
Well,
I would have done it 3 times and been like, fat. All right? I'm going to focus on fantasy football and building model airplanes. I've had enough of the sex.
Yeah, well, different physiology for
me. No kidding. But all right, Chrissy. Obviously, there's intimacy things here because you're just sort of pounding the intimacy out of every relationship you're in. And then there could be a million things going. You could have a brain tumor.
Yeah, well, or I suppose some head injuries later on in life, there are problems, which needs to be evaluated by an MD, psychiatrist.
This is not just frisky.
No, and it's not weird. It's not bizarre. You know, you can start having self-image issues, and it's going to affect your sexual function maybe in a negative way eventually, but you need to have it screened by a good psychiatrist as well as a therapist.
7 times a day. Yeah. Amy?
Huh? Oh.
You're 14?
Yes.
You got stretch marks on your boobs?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But your boobs aren't big.
No.
No, but they're stretch marks anyway.
Yes.
Dr. Bruce, stretch marks, do they kick in for most people at a certain age, and do they sort of go away, or does stretch mark ever go away?
Stretch marks don't usually go away on their own. They will get larger and smaller depending on hormones, on gaining weight. The typical scenario is a stretching of the skin and a shrinkage, as in gaining weight and losing weight, but sometimes just with a rapid growth spurt. And
It seems like you'll see some stretch marks on a 16-year-old, and then you don't see them on when the person's 30. The same person.
Well, they can shrink and they can go away. I was reading an article. It's not real clear what makes them go away. Whether, and in fact, one of the questions
bad is this coffee?
The coffee. Yeah, the coffee's pretty bad. But
yeah, it's pretty bad.
You just need some more equal.
Did you put in there?
Only six. 1, 2, 3, 4. Only four.
Four.
Usually six or eight.
Let me explain something real fast. Hold on, everybody. We've gotten into this before. Dr. Bruce will put in 12, 13 sugars into his coffee. Dr. Bruce, a man of 45 years, you understand? He puts 13, like a stoned eighth grader, he puts in 13 sugars into his coffee. Now, he's not doing the sugar thing anymore. He's going with the artificial sweetener, which is fine. He has the equal.
It's what Ann brought in.
Producer Ann brought in. But he'll do sweet and low, or he'll do whatever.
I don't do. It's not a drug. Like, I'm doing a drug.
How many teaspoons
of sugar do you drink Coke in one of your drinks?
I don't
drink
Coke
or whatever.
Yes, this
28 grams of carbohydrate sugar.
This is Bruce's argument, by the way, is always Yeah, well, a Coke has 13. Well, why don't you add 13 to your soup then? Why don't you add it to everything that goes, you know, touches your lips? You know what I'm saying? Why don't you get a nice thing of matzo ball soup and put 13 things of sugar in it, make the Coke argument? And why not add 13 teaspoons of sugar to your water? By the way, Coke has 13 teaspoons of sugar in it, and you're drinking it.
Listen. Okay. Listen
to me.
There's a cultural tradition.
Listen to me. Here's the point. All right, I'll go with your Coke argument. You like sweet coffee. Some people drink a Coke, whatever. The idea that you put in 6 packets of artificial sweetener is bizarre to me, because I understand the sugar part, because
right.
I like sugar. I'll eat some coffee ice cream, and this is like you took coffee ice cream and put it in the microwave. But when you put the 6 things of equal in it, it gets bitter.
No, bitter, that's a genetic thing. Some people taste aspartame as bitter. That's genetic. I don't taste.
Listen to me. It's bitter. I don't care if you don't taste. Yeah, you're like, hey, it's like saying, hey, retarded guy can put his hand right over the flame. Yeah, it's still bad. It's still bad, and it's up to me to stop him.
Listen, it's your show, bad analogy. It doesn't work. Now, you could also comment on, I like about 20% of my coffee half and half. Not milk, half and half. Because I like the taste of the half and half. The fat and the sugar.
I like the half and half better than milk, too. Everyone does.
Coffee drinkers, come to my rescue. Let's have some coffee.
There's not a coffee drinker on this planet, or Columbia, which is also on this planet, but thankfully it's the name of a shuttle, too. Did that one blow up? Well, there's the point. Here's the point. There's nobody in the United States or in Colombia that puts 6 sweet and lows in their coffee. And by the way, he's not drinking a, you know, jumbo grande thing. He's drinking a good 8-9 ounces. Ain't too big. It gets bitter. It goes bizarre. It doesn't get sweeter after 3. I put half a one in my coffee. It's too much. It's like you're supposed to put a little pinch in. It's not the same as sugar.
Yeah, I know it distresses you. Whenever you see me doing this, whether you comment that or not, you're making faces. I can't argue with a madman.
I'm mad. You have 6 sweet lows in your coffee.
You know why you're mad? I'm 6. Sort of enjoying this cup of coffee, Adam.
No, you're
there.
Not.
You're
no,
wincing,
you're
and you're. It's going to leave a bad taste in your mouth all the way home.
Oh, when I find out, I bet it was one of those guys from the Aero side of this radio station, the oldie station, that stole our milk.
Oh, they probably made cereal with it or something. I guarantee you that's
right. I am livid. Yeah. I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
They probably had their granola
All right.
cereal with that All stuff. Right. The oldies guys.
Engineer Chris, would you cramp in this mug? I'm looking to improve the flavor. This is a total disaster.
Dr. Bruce likes to have coffee with his sugar.
This is ridiculous.
I was waiting for that one. Thanks.
This is a skullduggery of the highest order. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. All right.
Did we finish the stretch marks?
No, we did not.
Breasts?
No, we did not. Amy?
Yes.
All right. So here's the thing. There's really nothing you can do to get rid of the stretch marks.
Lasers and intense pulse light do.
Nah.
They do supposedly shrink them.
Nah. Then
I have a hard time charging patients for that because there's not a consistent good result, but they will get smaller. The theory is that it's for some reason laser light or pulse light either stimulates an enzyme that dissolves it's a form of connective tissue or decreases the blood supply.
It's a good theory.
But I'd wait until I wouldn't do this at 14. I'd wait until you're done growing. You'll probably have some spontaneous resolution of those type of stretch marks.
That's right. Amy, you're fine. Nobody cares about the stretch marks but you.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
It's no big deal. I hang around horrible, horrible men, and all they do is pick people apart. You know, they sit around, they watch television, and they're oh, she's fat, or I wouldn't do her, or she's old, or dimply, or whatever it is. They've never brought up stretch marks. They've never brought up stretch marks. They bring up hair, they bring up ass, they bring up cellulite, they bring up teeth, they bring up nose, they bring up everything. Stretch marks, never been brought up.
Ah, well, I know these guys. A lot of those guys have stretch marks. You never see them take their shirt off during basketball because they have stretch marks.
Yeah, but so what?
So they're not going to...
Yeah, but look, fat guys always complain about chicks being fat. It doesn't matter that they're fat. The point is they don't care about stretch marks. It's not an issue for guys. I don't know what your retarded point is. What is your retarded point?
My retarded point is that stretch marks are something that's a little bit embarrassing on a guy, and
but they would still complain about it on a woman if it was a big deal.
Yeah. Well, those guys are lucky to get a woman, stretch marks or not.
Well, the point is it ain't an issue, ladies. No. So don't freak. I have never heard a guy complain about it. I'm not saying
it's
we love
huge
stretch
issue
marks.
With women, though.
I'm not saying we look forward to stretch marks, but it's not as big an issue as you're making it out to be. All right, we'll take a quick break. Dr. Bruce here filling in for Dr. Drew, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. Takes a big, big man to fill Drew's big, big shoes, and Dr. Bruce is a big, big, big red-headed man. Oh, yeah. He is a board-certified physician. Like I said, enjoy that while it lasts. And he knows his way around a laser, removes tattoos, does emergency medicine and addiction medicine. So if you got a question, it's like Dr. Bruce was sitting here with a laser. That's really what it is. Lisa Loeb is coming in here later in the week. Also, Jenna Jameson. And the Black Eyed Peas as well. All right, back to the phones we go. Oh, a pox. I put a pox on the scoundrel that made off with my milk.
You know, it could be worse. They could have contaminated what was... I mean, they could have...
That'll be next.
Xlax in there,
that'll be next, yeah.
Some juvenile...
It'll be the Loveline milk with a little snot rocket in
right.
it.
Right.
Courtesy of one of the van drivers who's tired of listening to me rail about them. Mm-hmm. But, somebody stole my Loveline milk. I'm now having to use a non-dairy creamer, and it is nothing short of a tragedy in here. This is a tragedy. And let me just say this to the person that did steal it. May your teeth fall out and hair grow in its place. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
May your head grow like an onion in the ground. You have any maze? You have any good poxes? Anything from Brooklyn? Any Jewish stuff?
You
anything
call
good?
A rat bastard or something like that.
No,
my favorite time.
That's not good.
No. Okay.
All right, let's talk to Whitney, who's 19. Whitney?
Hi.
What's happening, baby doll?
Okay, well, my boyfriend's penis is larger than anyone I've ever been with, and it's large for any penis. Like, it's just a large penis. And it's very
Hold on. Let me see if I get this straight. Your boyfriend has a large penis?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, slow down.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay. So he has a large penis. I'm writing this down. All right. And you say it's the second biggest you've seen?
No, it's the very biggest.
So third?
No, it's the biggest I've seen ever.
Number one.
Yeah, number one.
Right. Now, you're used to being with guys with big penises, yes?
Well, I'm not. I've only been with three people. He's my
three guys.
Third, yeah.
So, he is the third, but he's number one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's big, though.
Uh-huh. And how long would you say he is?
I'd say it's, like, close to, like, 9 or 10 inches.
9 or 10. Healthy.
Yeah.
All right. And how's the girth doing?
It's pretty thick.
Pretty girthy. All right. Girth, by the way, one of those words that sort of sounds like what it is.
Great word.
Girth.
Girth.
Girth couldn't be skinny. It's got to be fat.
Yeah.
He's girthy. Yeah. You have no girth. You're a man of little girth. Yes, you
I beg your pardon.
Go ahead. No, I was talking to Dr. Bruce. So he's girthy.
Yeah.
Spindly sounds skinny.
Oh, spindly does sound skinny. That's not a good penis word.
It's bad if your penis is labeled spindly.
Spindly.
So he's girthy and he's big. And your question is?
It's really uncomfortable to have sex with him. Like, it never feels good. And I don't know what to do. Like, I can't do anything to make it feel any better. I don't know what to do to make it feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Are you having muscle spasm and pain? Or is it? Are you using lubricant?
Yes.
Okay. Nothing really helps.
No.
How about a little Coke? How about you rub a little Coke on that area?
Yeah.
Numb it up. Give yourself a freeze. What position? You need. Here's the thing. Here's what you need. You need
We've tried all kinds of positions. We have a Kama Sutra book.
Oh, you do. All right.
Ah, yeah. That's
some are better than others. I mean, you need to pick one that where you can sort of control the. Depth, you know what I'm saying?
I tried, and I found a few, but I mean, it's
Are you a very small person? Because really, what you're describing, his numbers are not you know, off
jiving with yours.
Well, no, there's, it's just that's not so large.
Well, I'm only 5 foot.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So and if you're 5 foot, is your vagina smaller than a woman who's 6 foot?
See, the vaginal tissue can expand a lot. And if it's not, I mean, it is a muscle. And usually vaginismus is pain with intercourse. And it has to do with not being relaxed enough. And but it's a potential space. Is
vaginismus is my Muslim name, by the way. Were you aware of that?
No, I wasn't.
That's offensive that you brought that up.
Yeah, I've seen kids name vaginismus. That's the interesting, what they name kids when they can't they see it written down somewhere in the...
Watch cops.
Yeah.
All right, so Whitney, yeah.
Whitney Small should get a vagina. Gynecologic exam.
Yeah. Hey, Whitney.
Mm-hmm.
Look, here's the deal, too. You know, five-year-old can't yet ride a 10-speed. You know what I mean? They're, you may just be too small for this guy's bike. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, good analogy.
Well, but I love him, and...
No, then the five-year-old loves the 10-speed, too, but he might just need a little trike with some training wheels. Does he give you good oral sex?
Yeah.
Well, that's something. Look, if you're in love with the guy, then you guys, you know, just keep working at it.
Yeah.
I mean, go get a checkup.
Yeah, and this it's a radio show, and obviously we can't, you know, we're not visualizing anything. You need to have a pelvic exam and talk to a gynecologist that has some experience dealing with sexual disorders or dysfunction, because there are a variety of disorders that could be involved.
I always wanted a woman to handle me with two hands. You know what I mean? To me, that would be a real feather in my cap. It's not happened yet. I don't imagine it happening unless I hook up like an Asian midget.
That's a very interesting comment,
but
Adam.
But the two, you know, once in a while you see the porn movie, it's like chick grabs the base and it's like, well, it's still unwieldy. It's like, look, it becomes, the penis becomes like, once in a while you see the guy fire up the fire hose and there's nobody manning it. It just starts flying everywhere. And one guy jumps onto it, but it still could hurt somebody. So it takes a team of three or four guys if they subdue it. I'd like that to happen with my penis.
I'm getting a mental image I don't really want to have right
but
now.
Sometimes you watch the porn and they grab it and it's like, there's still plenty left. And they put another hand on it and there's still enough left to work with.
Yeah. They had us watch these porno things in medical school to desensitize us. Yeah, then they eventually brought in, you know, models to do pelvics on that would make noise.
Really?
Oh, what are you doing?
What did they do?
Well, they felt that many medical students were really classic nerds.
Oh,
and so when they were...
You'd never seen a vagina. You were 23, right?
I beg your pardon.
I'm sorry, 24.
Don't assume anything. But they...
Wait a minute. That's an interesting point, which is, unlike Drew's a, you know, rare exception, he's a passionate man.
Yeah.
Many doctors are from kooky countries where they don't get sex. A lot of them are just bookworms and nerds. They weren't the captain of the football team in high school.
Or religious orders that teach that masturbation causes cancer.
Bizarre religious, or maybe the occult, you know. The point is they get to, it's time for them to examine a woman's vagina at 24, and they may not have seen one in person before.
Right.
So they brought in porn films.
Or you have a shaved woman that comes, desensitize me?
Well, look, you weren't getting much in high school.
It doesn't matter.
College.
I mean,
all right, the point is that you guys watched porn movies.
Yeah, you know, you got the guy, some of the guys sit in the back, and, you know, instead of the usual disattention.
Just regular off-the-shelf porn movies?
Well, you know, I don't recall. Porn. You're the 70s expert, and I don't want to mention
one of the medical
stuff, but.
Well, so, like, Swedish erotica series?
No, it was just stuff off the shelf. I don't really tell you the truth. Wasn't burned in my memory.
And then
And
then a woman came in.
Well, the subsequent classes, they then would bring in women to have, that you would do a pelvic on. Now, we didn't get that, but I think that's more common today.
Line of people standing in front of the opening of her vagina?
No. They would do, it was done very professionally, where she's in an exam room, and you just go through. But she would give you feedback on how it felt and what you were doing because, you know, those metal specula are not comfortable. And you also have the less sensitive student physician that Right. He's not really paying attention.
No, no.
He's like, what's my grade going to be? Not does this, is this uncomfortable or painful? You know, some of the
he's
male.
He's going in there. He's got a
misogynistic
soldering iron he's heading in there with. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, he's thinking, I'm going to visualize the cervix. I don't want to lose any points here. And whoosh,
yeah. So you were your velvety touch to the
absolutely.
Ladies?
Absolutely. I always used gloves.
That's like the idea that they watched. He showed you guys porn movies.
Right. Let's see. That's the fact that'll. Keep
take another look at this. I may become a doctor. Rachel?
Yes.
You're 30?
Yeah. My husband has an inverted penis.
Right.
It's it just kind of goes up inside of him and it stays there. That's what he's like when he's flaccid. And when he gets erect and stuff, he's completely normal.
Oh, really?
Stuff. Yeah.
Really? Completely normal.
Well, what I would consider normal, I guess. He's about 6 and a half, maybe.
Really? And yet, when he's flaccid, it's almost inside of him.
It is inside of him.
Does that make you gay?
It's like a hole.
You have a penis in you.
No. Uh-huh.
It's like a hole. And it really, have you ever put your finger in there? No. Could it hold one of those little American flags that Don King swings around at press conferences?
Yeah, probably.
That would be a great Christmas card.
Oh, yeah.
He's just lying on his back. He's wearing a cowboy hat. I'm not sure why. Maybe just the boots. And there's a couple American flags put in the hole where his penis should be. And you know what? By the way, if your penis is in like that way, can you be nude on television? You know what I mean? Like, if you don't actually have genitalia to see?
Nah, I think the scrotal sac may cause some FCC consternation.
We had a guy on the Man Show once that got a... if you block that out. We had a guy on the Man Show once who had breast augmentation as a male, as a straight male, on a bet.
Mm-hmm.
No, on a bet. On a bet.
Oh.
Not pec implants. He had a B or C cup put in. And when we pulled the shirt off to reveal it, the censors were unsure what to do. Because, on one hand, we're seeing fake...
A male chest.
We're seeing silicone implants. On the other hand, we're seeing a male chest. So which is it? They chose... discretion was the better part of valor. They decided. They tiled it out.
That's crazy.
No, he had to wear pasties on his nipples. He had to wear band-aids on his nipples. It's a bizarre...
That's a bizarre twist on a bizarre story.
Yeah, this is why I can't take mushrooms anymore, because you get high and you think about this stuff and your head explodes.
See that on a hallucinogen, you'd never be the same.
No, I just mean you start thinking about the society we're living in and the mores and the culture and stuff, and you just go, I can't figure anything out.
It was a drunken bet? I mean, that's worse than your average moronic man show.
He got paid $50,000 or something.
Mm.
Rachel?
Yeah.
All right, we got to take a break. Is he an overweight man?
Well, he's a pretty big guy, yeah. But he's not he's top heavy, not bottom heavy.
So he has no problem urinating with this thing?
No. He it's all totally normal except, it's always been like that for him. He's never...
All right, hold on a second. We got to get into this.
Did you announce I'm a urologist or what? I mean, all these penis calls tonight.
People know
there's more.
Dick.
They're in line, standing in line for penile evaluation.
Well, don't talk to him then, wise guy. Here's the thing. Inverted penis, big guy. Oh, that's rough around the gym, by the way.
Oh. So this kid, what trauma as a teenager when the...
All right. We're going to get into all that. And then it comes out, and it's 6.5 inches. I find that almost hard to believe.
Yeah.
I can see it coming out and being, 500% more than what it was because it started as nothing. But I could see it coming out being 4.5, maybe 5, but 6.5. So going from no penis, a hole where the penis was to a largish penis?
Nah, you're getting ice cold water. Have you ever seen how things shrink and shrivel and retreat inside? So,
all right, there's potential.
Spongy tissue is amazing stuff.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. We'll get back with Rachel and her husband's inverted penis after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline, madam. That's Dr. Bruce. Who I still haven't called Dr. Drew, but when I get mad, I call people Drew.
Did you ever call Drew Dr. Bruce?
Maybe you know, on one of his marathon trips for Trojan, where he circumnavigates the globe, hawking rubbers for at a nickel a stop, and you've been here for like 4 or 5 days straight. Yeah. Sometimes I'll, you know, here's the thing. Whenever I get mad, I call him Drew. So if I'm yelling at my wife, or I'm yelling at a guy in a car, or I'm yelling at anybody, I just
call him Drew.
Drew comes flying out. Ah. So I associate yelling at people with the name Drew.
Has Drew, you know, does he have like a complex from doing the show with you? Do you yell? I know you yell at him a lot. I know what it feels like to be yelled at by you. It's a very demeaning experience.
Thank you.
Poor Drew.
It's meant to be demeaning.
That's why he said what he said about you to me.
It'd be an insult if it felt good.
Yeah.
Why? What'd he say?
Nah, it was just something about being this close to you in a closed space like this 4 nights a week. Is it 5 nights a week?
5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said something about being nice when he's in a different city and doesn't have to be.
Different city. He's in a different city right now.
When he's on the air with you in a different city, he doesn't have to.
All right. All right.
But he respects you, of course.
Fine. Rachel?
Yep, I'm here.
All right, so Rachel's 30. Husband is how old?
35.
Did he just come in the room?
No.
Okay.
That's me.
All right, any penis, his penis, when he's not erect, is actually inside of him. There's a divot. There's a hole there, almost like a belly button that goes in, right?
Yeah.
And if I shine a flashlight into that fleshy well, I would see the head of his penis?
Yeah, if he pushes on it, on the sides,
like he's popping his zit.
He can pull it out. He can, like, get it out.
Yeah, that's nice.
By putting pressure on it.
You know, in a certain way, it's like, you know, you keep your bowling ball in the bag when you're not rolling it. You know what I mean? You don't want it to get dinged up or scratched or anything. Maybe it's ahead of the game. I mean, idiots like us, we have our penis out in the open, exposed to bear attacks, cold, hail,
wasting
all the elements.
Yeah, and there's one other thing. Assuming he's not erect when he sees his physician, I mean, this guy's been visualized many times by doctors, and short of actually me seeing it, I would say that it's a normal variant.
One other thing, has he always been a little bit heavy?
He built kind of like a fire plug, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. But he doesn't have
folds, he doesn't have...
But he couldn't stand to lose 20 pounds?
Oh yeah, he could lose 20 pounds easy.
Yeah, here's the whole thing too. When guys get heavy, when they get a little bit heavier... The area, well, first off, they get a little higher circulating levels of estrogen.
Absolutely.
So they actually, you know, the penis might shrink a little. Oh, talk about the 1-2 punch of God. Like, hey, fatty. Yeah. Yeah. You know the big rolls, the love handles, the stretch marks. Yeah. Double chin. Chicks are going to hate that. Wait till you drop your pants.
Oh, yeah.
That's when the embarrassment party really starts. Because I'll tell you, we'll give you a little pink skin. We'll give you some stretch marks. We'll give you the folds. We'll give you the man breast. And let's see. What can we do? What can we do? Oh, no penis. Ah, there you go. Thanks, God. Fantastic. So now I got the belly and no penis. In the area, the thighs get all meaty. The belly starts sticking out. And the penis ends up being in a valley in between these this mountain range known as Mount Belly and Mount Thigh.
Yeah. It's a distressing sight.
Or if you're Jew, it's Mount Sinai.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was good, yeah.
High five. Chris? No, nothing. All right, so
this guy
would lose the weight, right, or attempt to lose the weight. You'd do it anyway.
Yeah.
Because you're 35 and you're carrying around an extra 20 pounds. By the time you start getting in your 40s, you're going to be carrying around 40 extra pounds.
Well, you know, but that's a good point about the aromatase enzyme that converts. You know, you get more estrogen because you have more fat tissue. So you're going to get a little bit of shrinkage of the...
Yeah.
You're not as much effective testosterone.
His penis works when he needs it, though.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, look, plane doesn't fly with its landing gear down, does it?
Right. That's good analogy.
Unnecessary.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What do you need? You want to fly from L.A. to New York with the gear hanging down? No, it's just more aerodynamic drag, and someone could break off, hit a seagull or something. No, you pack it in, and then when it's time to land, like land on top of her, the gear comes out.
Yeah, but, you know, maybe it's when he's walking around the house. Maybe she has a problem with this.
Once in a while,
she wants a guy that, you know.
You blow a hydraulic line, and you have to crank it out by hand. And by the way, has there been a movie where they had to crank the gear out by hand where it didn't get stuck?
Oh, yeah.
It always gets stuck. It's
crawl
always
down
stuck.
And they get it, yeah.
Somebody check that crank once in a while, would you? It's like, the hydraulics are gone, Chuck. You got to go into the bay and crank down the gear by hand. And then the guy goes down, he makes it about a turn and a half, and
and it's stuck, right?
It's stuck. It's frozen. It's nothing. And then the one where he said, now here's the mistake. He starts leaning on it, and it breaks. Yeah. Now we're screwed.
It's those writers, those Hollywood writers.
Again. Also, no way of knowing if the gear is down in an airplane either, it seems to me. Like, I'm not sure if it's down or not.
Yeah.
We got to do a flyby of the tower. Crank busted. I don't know. Whoever,
more than the History Channel.
I watch too much TV, but look, I like to find the company that makes these manual cranks for, and sue their ass.
Yeah, good class.
Because I really they've worked. They're 0 for like 28 in every movie I've ever seen.
Yeah,
never seen a movie where the hydraulics are shot, so the guy goes down to crank it down by hand. Fine, no problem. He just turned it by hand. It went down. Man, it's done.
Yep,
we can land now.
Popular motif in those 40s movies.
Thanks, buddy.
Right.
40s. 30s. Say even 30s. They didn't even have retractable landing gear in the 30s. All they had was seaplanes.
Sorry.
All right, let's take a little break. Dr. Bruce here tonight. Dr. Bruce and the Hizzy, everybody. He's, that's the kids. They listen to that kind of talk.
Yeah,
Dr.
Right.
Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. He's board certified while it lasts. And we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Here, buddy. Love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Filling in for Dr. Drew. Dr. Bruce just gave me some cream to rub on my face. It's,
growth factor derived from baby foreskins. Just in line with the penile calls tonight.
And you don't have anything that's made from, like, infant nipples or anything? just foreskin? That's all?
It's a growth factor, and actually it's been found to stimulate collagen and elastic tissue growth.
It's made from...
It's isolated from human foreskin tissue. So there's a growth factor that is then...
What?
Reproduced.
What do you mean a growth factor?
Well, you have cells, fibroblasts, you have cells that produce collagen and similar tissue that don't have much stimulation once you're an adult. So if you can find something that will stimulate those cell lines, then it's a rejuvenating.
All right, why the foreskin? What's different about that area?
Well, again, the further back you get in age, when you get infancy and the fetus, the whole idea of stem cells, you have cells that produce factors that cause growth and differentiation of tissues that you lose as
boring.
You grow.
Boring. Why the prepuce?
Because, well, I don't know. I don't know why, to tell you the truth, but that's...
All right. Well, just say you don't know why, then.
Well, I'm saying in infancy...
What's different about that skin than the skin on your elbow?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not going to be able to answer the question adequately, but...
All right. Fine. You don't know. But it's a part that they're cutting off, so I guess we can use it.
Right.
What do you think of stem cell? What about all that stuff? I mean, you hear everyone talking about it like, well, if Bush would just put his rubber stamp on it, we could just go ahead and cure cancer once and for all. But what about it?
Yeah, well, I think they're unrealistic expectations out of what you're going to get for stem cell research. But the bottom line is, I think you can have respect for human life and still use embryonic tissue to do research. I think that, again, you get the religious right getting into politics, and they should just mind their own business.
Of course. And no one else has a problem with every president we have in there talking about, talking to God and having his quiet moments and all the prayer talk and all that. Nobody has any issue with that. It never seems to pop up. As a matter of fact, we couldn't get a guy into office who just said, look, my religion or my faith is my own business. It's not going to enter my decision-making. My decision-making is, based on logic, numbers, and just basically it's pragmatism.
Yeah.
There's no faith here.
Well, but they're going to ask. Even Kerry, he's pro-choice, and so they don't want to give him communion, or some of the priests don't. So, all these things, it seems to me, religion and state need to be separated at more levels.
Well, here
special interest groups.
All right, before I get on my high horse and spin off into some sort of direction that you'll never be able to get me back from.
All right, right.
Stem cell, is it important?
Absolutely.
Do you think it'll yield the sort of gains that they're talking about 20 years from
Absolutely.
Now?
Absolutely. Not even 20 years from now, when you're looking at diabetics that need this type of cells that produce insulin.
Right.
And you know, with stem cells, you have a lot of the immune identification that the body does to reject other tissues.
Right.
You don't, you know, you don't have that problem. And you can also grow
any cell line. They had these issues with organ transplants 45, 50 years ago, right?
Similar, various concerns over the ages. Any time you have religious views that, well, this represents the heart represents
right. And what
that.
And what, you know, there's this whole thing that everyone has to get over, this sort of doctors playing God. Obviously, if you're saving people's lives or unplugging them from equipment, there's a certain God factor. I mean, let's face it, you're playing God. You save someone who was supposed to die or unplug the machine that you built to keep him alive, and now he's dead. I want doctors playing God. That's their job. I don't want other, you know, I don't want bus drivers doing it. But yeah, if I'm, you know, if I roll into some ER and if unattended, I would die in 10 minutes. I want the guy to play God and save me.
Right.
Why is it okay? It's like, you know, it's okay for him to play God by keeping the guy alive for 2 years on a respirator. But if the guy says he's going to pull the plug on it, now he's playing God.
Yeah.
How about the fact the guy was supposed to be dead?
Right.
That's God too. Is there playing good God and playing bad God? Which is it? It's such a bizarre, effed up slope that we're on with this when it comes to religion and what doctors can and can't do. And then what happens is 20 years goes by or 40 years goes by, and we look at it like, oh, man, they were like primitive man. Like,
right.
They didn't want the guy to have a heart transplant because they claimed that was the soul of another. You know, this is the kind of talk that was going around about 30, 40 years ago. I mean, before there was a heart transplant. I mean, they're relatively new, right?
Right.
And it's the same old stuff.
Well, with stem cells, then you get into, you know, it's like the abortion camp, anti-abortion, and then you also have the cloning issues. Well, you know, can we take a cell and grow a human being?
I know.
The ethicists will be arguing ad infinitum.
I know.
And it'll ultimately be some other country that is not regulating it, and things will just go on there.
I know. But it's these I'll tell you what drives me nuts is the slippery slope pussies. These guys were the retarded slippery slope argument with
you
everything.
You can argue against anything with a slippery slope.
Well, if your argument against something is 10 stages down the road something bad could happen, then, yeah, everything's a slippery slope.
Right.
I mean, like, you go like, well, I'd like to take your daughter to the prom. Well, you could get drunk, and then you could T-bone a tanker truck, and my daughter could be burned over 90% of her body. It's a slippery slope. She'll be staying at home.
Right.
Yeah, everything's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
Of course. It's like, it's the Kevorkian thing that always drives me nuts. It's like, he kills, if he can put people out of their misery who are in advanced stages of Lou Gehrig's disease, what's to stop him from just putting a pillow over your teenager's head when he comes in for a physical?
Right.
Play a little Pop Warner football. Slippery slope. What? Really? Really? It's the same retarded argument the NRA makes all the time. Oh, you get rid of these 40-round cop killer banana clips. You make those illegal. Next thing you know, we're all using plastic sporks in our house because the government's not going to trust us with a steak knife.
Right. It's both sides of the fence.
They just are. Crazy, they're idiots. They don't actually believe it. The NRA doesn't believe government's going to march into the house and want your kid to register his BB gun. They just say that because everything becomes stalled in the argument stage and they never get out of it.
Yeah.
NRA smart. The smoker should have done this, by the way. You see what I'm saying? NRA fights everything, and it never gets out of that stage.
Yeah.
They're still arguing over whether their guys can have grenade launchers or not. It never gets to the handguns. They're smart. Smokers, they should have taken a trick from the NRA's. What do they have? What do you keep your tricks in? A bag. The trick bag.
Right.
That's where they keep it. Because smokers were like, think about the smokers, like, hey, look, we're going to need you guys to sit in a separate section of the airplane. Oh, all right. Yeah, sure. We'll go over here.
Slippery.
you guys at the restaurant, yeah, we're going to need you to move you over here. We're going to need you to move you outside. You need to stand outside. You stand too close. I know you're outside, but you need to go down the sidewalk a little bit. You guys smoking on the beach.
The beach. Right.
There'll be no smoke. Yeah, we got a neighbor who lives downstairs of the apartment you're in. He says he can smell your, we're going to need you to, hey, you, yeah, you got kids. Yeah, if you got kids and you smoke, I know you're going out on the balcony. We're going to need you to stop smoking around. That's what it's gotten to. It took about 8 years for guys. Guys were happily smoking away on airplanes, and now they can't smoke on the beach. This is why smokers should have fought.
That's right. But then you have the slippery slope in the
NRA would have done. NRA would have went, smoking on airplanes. No, well, not, no, this is an outrage. Someone go get the Constitution. Get Chuck Heston to light up a pack of butts. If something's, we'll stage a protest.
Yeah.
And they would still be arguing about the plane.
Yeah. Well, the plane's crazy anyway. You got this tube flying through the sky, and I'm going to sit in the front. You're going to sit in the back, and it's like the smoke isn't going through.
You're sitting behind it.
It was like smoking a pack of cigarettes flying in the no smoking section.
That I agree with. But the point is, now, what was your point? You had a point?
Well, the slippery slope can go both ways, you can argue. As far as the research goes, though, they have taken a lesson from the NRA, and it's like, don't let any research go on because it's connected to the abortion argument. It's just like having a law if you murder someone that's pregnant. Oh, well, we can't say that that's a double murder because then we're acknowledging the humanity of the fetus. It's just all crazy.
Yeah, but these people act like we're going to harvest these stem cells from people that have been gestating for 8 months, or someone's just going to put a fisherman's gaff up the chick, yank out a squirming kid, hit him with a baseball bat, and start harvesting his cells. There's nothing. There's no kid. It's not like they're taking cells from a kid. It's just a grouping of cells.
But there's so much ignorance. Look at the morning after pill arguments. These people think that you're spewing out a two-celled embryo, and that's an abortion. Which, as Drew points out all the time, that's got nothing to do with the mechanism of the morning after pill.
But just to be clear on the stem cell thing, the stem cells would be derived from aborted, but not really aborted because there's really nothing. I mean, fertilized eggs that have not turned into any shape or form.
Yeah, but the point is, once it's fertilized in these people's minds, it is a potential human. It's a human life.
Right,
that's
but
being
we're talking about a blob the size of a dime. Yes,
right,
or
a dime.
Less.
Talking about something
microscopic.
That you, right, microscopic.
Can't even
basically.
See it, and
right.
That's where we're getting the cells.
Right, it's whether it's the 2, 4, 8, 16 cells, whatever it is, the argument goes.
So, I mean, we're harvesting cells from something that can't be seen with the naked eye.
You're starting the cell line. Right. Now, I'm not a microbiologist.
And those stem cells could be beneficial.
Oh, absolutely. They're non-differentiated. I mean, they're different ways of...
And when you say non-differentiated, meaning they don't know if they're supposed to be a liver or a lung.
Right, absolutely.
Or in my case,
spine.
A brow.
Yeah, in your case. Yeah.
Yeah, so you could put them into the body... And they could or put them into the damaged area, and they could regenerate
that
area.
Yeah, like Christopher Reeves is so anxious to get this research going in terms of spinal cord injury.
Right.
Can we regenerate destroyed or damaged or other's nervous system tissue?
And the idea would be to take these cells that, what did you call them? They're undeclared, undecided.
Right. Undifferentiated.
They were like bad college students without a major.
Right.
And we're going to take these things, and we're going to essentially inject them into the area where it was damaged, like Christopher Reeves would be his spine, and they would, in theory, start rejuvenating that area.
Yeah, and just so many diseases, like Parkinson's disease. This is where Reagan, they're so vehement about, listen, we need to move on with this research.
Well, and now, I thought Reagan...
Spoke at the Democrat... Yeah, he was speaking at
Ronald,
the Democrat.
Ronald Sr., yeah, but the senior Reagan, who had the Alzheimer's, was against the stem cell research.
Oh,
back
in the 80s. Well, that's the 80s. I don't know. And he was sick for quite a while. So I don't know the politics of that. But definitely Nancy Reagan. I think they're saying, look, this shouldn't be a Republican versus Democratic issue. It's a scientific.
Would it have helped his condition?
No, it's not at that. It's not at that point yet. But
potentially.
You need to the idea is this. I don't know all the biology of it, but apparently some of the stem cell lines that are available, you need more. You need a wider variety of stem cell lines to do adequate research to develop the specific lines that would go for pancreas or brain tissue. It's a very, very complex issue.
All right.
They need to be left alone. They need to
No, you're a religious man, but even you draw the line at something you can't see in terms of benefit.
I think people that are extremely religious and not spiritual, they tend to limit God. And that's what you see down through the ages. People were limiting other people based on their concept of what God would want. How do all these people know so certainly what God would want in terms of...
Please. What right. God, for the love of Christ? Would you idiots grow up? Please, stop it. Okay. How insecure do you got to be? Oh, I got a personal relationship with him. He's looking out for me. Really? Why is your life so crappy? Why all the tragedy?
My life was crappy when I mentioned I believed in creationism to bad religion.
Really, if you had a God, would he be punishing you the way he's doing it?
In my case?
Yeah. What'd you do wrong? What'd you do in your last life?
I don't know.
Come on, you're a good guy. You're righteous. You spread the good news. And
the
all
the devil
is
tormenting me
because
I'm a good person. It's like Job.
All right, listen, everybody, with the God and the devil stuff. Really? Really? That's, you guys, free-thinking
adults.
Now,
you need
adults.
A realistic... Look at C.S. Lewis. There are spiritual religious thinkers that have written rationally about God and making choices. And some people like C.S. Lewis. Right. And
well, look, here's the deal, everybody. If we got our God, then they got Allah, and they got the 72 virgins, and he told them...
Oh,
he told them to blow themselves up in the crowded marketplace.
Muslim,
so why not?
My Muslim friends are so abhorred by all. I mean, it's an abhorrent situation.
It'd be nice if one of them said something every once in a while, by the way.
Well,
it'd be nice if one of them piped up every once in a blue moon about it.
I have a friend that's in an organization of capitalist Muslims in the United States, and they have the hardest time getting airtime. They wanted to get on Bill Maher.
Really?
Way back when. Wouldn't put
him on. All right. Let's. All I'm saying is if you got your God, then they got their God, then everyone gets to have their God, and then their God gets to tell them what to do.
Yeah, but
it's hard to argue with
my,
it.
My God
Look,
doesn't...
our God told us not to save Christopher Reeves with any stem cell research. Their God tells them to go into a marketplace in Tel Aviv and blow somebody up. All right? We're even.
Well, everybody needs to leave their God at home.
That's my point. I'm just saying, if we... Listen... Listen, you retarded Christians, if you got your God who is going to let Christopher Reeves rot in his wheelchair his whole life, then you got to respect their God who wants stuff blown up. Hey, that's what they said to them. They're interpreting what their God is telling them. Just like you're interpreting your God not wanting to do stem cell research. All right.
I didn't say that.
Fair is fair. No, I'm just saying for those people.
Right, absolutely.
If you got those people, if your God exists, then so does theirs. And if your God wants you not to do this, and their God wants them to do that, hey, you got to respect it now.
Mm-hmm.
Idiots. Of course. And then who gets the crap kicked out of them? Here's the deal. Us atheists, what do we get? No stem cell and blown up in Tel Aviv for nothing.
Bad deal.
Yeah, I get zero.
You got porno, though.
And then where do I go? Zero. I go nowhere. Right into the ground.
Yeah.
Jessica?
Yeah.
You're 14. What do you think about all this? Slippery slope?
What?
All right, baby doll. Clearly you have a political agenda, but let's not get to that. Let's just talk about your problem tonight.
Okay.
You're 14, yes?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Did we bother you? Did we wake you up?
No.
All right, then pipe up. Act like you're on the radio, would you?
Okay.
All right, so what's your question?
Okay, I was wondering if it was normal to have big breasts when you're only 14.
No.
Yes.
It can happen.
I mean,
it certainly can happen.
Okay, because I'm like, all the guys at my school keep, like, always say that, that they're fake and everything, and they're not.
They don't think they're fake. I think there's someone in the eighth grade with fake boobs.
Listen, guys in junior high are morons. They don't know. They're just harassing you, and that's why... Some women and even some teenagers seek breast reduction surgery. And I believe you've had an expert on the show that did a lot of breast reduction surgery. But it's a difficult thing. It's a genetic thing. Some girls develop very early, and it's a difficult... Studies have been done. There tends to be more...
You're all right.
Yeah. You're all right, but...
You're what's... What? How tall are you?
I'm 5'10".
5'10"?
Yes.
It's tall. 14 years old? 5'10"?
Yes.
All right. How much do you weigh?
I think it's 125.
Mm, 125? Wow.
Almost underweight.
And what size? What's your breast size?
38C.
38C.
So you're otherwise quite thin.
Yes.
You're below ideal body weight.
Hold on a second. 38 is way too big for someone who's 5'10 and 125.
Right. Well, I mean, the idea is what's way too big. The point
no,
is,
no, I don't mean the boobs. The number, the 38 part.
Mm.
She should be like a 34 C.
Yeah, right. That's a good point.
See what I'm saying? Yeah. Are you sure it's a 38 C?
Yep.
All right. Well, listen, I'm a bit of a bra expert, and something sounds wrong. Guys get caught up in the number, but it's really the cup size.
Right.
Thank you. All right. So, look, are you depressed about other things as well?
No.
All right, so...
I mean, have you had any overt abuse, or is it just been... Oh, I mean, verbal abuse is horrible to go through, but anything else? Any physical abuse?
No, guys just, like, try to sexually harass me and stuff, and I just was wondering if it's normal to have that size.
It's a normal variant. In other words, what's normal biologically is a wide range of normal, and you are normal. The problem is, the guys at that age are totally insensitive.
Yeah.
They don't think before they speak.
No, they don't. It freaks the chicks out. They don't mean anything by it. I used to do it myself. Well into my 30s.
Yeah.
So, listen, Jessica, here's the deal. First off, when you're the first one to spring boobs, all the attention gets shifted to you. In another 6 months or a year, all the other girls will start popping up, and guys will get distracted. And here's the whole thing, everybody. girls would like to be noticed by boys.
Yeah.
We get into this weird thing where it's like, yeah, I'd like to be noticed by boys, but not for that. What's the big difference between having a nice ass and having a nice rack? Guys notice a nice pair of legs. It's no problem. There's no women don't look at themselves as being somehow used because she's got a nice set of legs. What about a nice set of blue eyes? What about nice high cheekbones? What about long blonde hair?
Yeah, but the difference here is a 14-year-old is a 14-year-old, and her defense, her defenses haven't developed. Her ability, tolerate this kind of abuse is much less than it would be in an adult. So she's in a real tough situation.
I understand that, but. You're tall. You sound like you have an amazing figure. 14's a little early for it to kick in. The other girls will be kicking in next 6 months or a year, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, you need some support though. What happens when the early bloomers like this? You don't have the support of the other girls because they're jealous. They're upset. Then the guys are harassing her. She sounds depressed.
She sounds like she's depressed about other things.
Mm.
She's focusing on this. Look.
You're very self-conscious at 14. You feel like you're on
stage.
That's part of adolescence.
I don't want to feed people's fire when I think what it needs is a nice wet rag tossed on it, which is get over it. It's not that big a deal. If there's a problem with someone overtly abusing you verbally or sexually, report it.
What's important is she calls here, we're telling her you're okay, you're normal.
There's nothing wrong with you.
Right, but she needs that kind of support on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, but I don't want to tell her, oh, it's really tough. Being the focus of everyone's assault is going to be very difficult. Look.
You need to tell her both things you're telling her. It's tough. You're going through something.
You're not crazy for feeling this way. But there probably isn't. Here's the thing. There's not a girl that went through junior high or high school that either wasn't felt like you that she got the attention or didn't get any attention and felt even worse. Think about all the dumpy chicks who just guys don't even look up when they walk by.
Right.
Their self-esteem is off the charts.
Yeah. So she needs to pull herself up by the bootstraps.
I mean, when I say off the charts, I mean in a. You know, the bottom of the chart, not the top, like you usually hear about. There's a chart, you know, the chart starts at the bottom and then it goes to the top. You know?
Yeah.
This is just the bottom part of the chart.
So she needs to quit feeling sorry for herself is what you'd say.
I don't really mean it that way. I just mean don't think that everyone who passes you and looks at you is staring at your chest, number one. Number two, everyone goes through this. And number three, I'm trying to have you make some lemonade out of lemons here. You got two nice lemons. Make some lemonade. You sound like a beautiful woman.
Right.
That's fine. So it came up early. You get a whole life of beauty out of it,
right.
though. All right. All right. All right. I'm just saying, Everyone's got a prom. The hot chick's got a prom that they're not being taken seriously. The dumpy chick's got a prom because they can't get a prom date. Everybody's got a prom. The chicks with the nice chest have a prom because people are only want to date them for that. The flat chicks have a prom with the ones with the nice chest. Just stop it, everybody. You just sort of are who you are. Everyone has their own cross to bear. Everyone in high school and junior high feels a little out of place, feels a little uncomfortable, wishes their hair was a little less Brillo-y or their teeth were a little less bucky. Yes,
you can communicate that, but what I'm saying is the whole reason the field of adolescent medicine took shape is because there's a difference in the way the brain functions in the early adolescence, mid and late adolescence. So somebody who's 13 or 14, isn't able to abstract. Everything's
complicated. I'm telling them to.
Yeah, you're.
I am endowing them with that ability.
So she needs extra support
from her bra.
Right, I knew you were going to set
look,
you up there.
You're not a victim. You have a nice rack and you're tall. Don't look at yourself as a leper.
Yeah.
That's all.
Well,
have some friends. Make some friends.
Yeah.
Just make friends.
Right.
Everybody, make friends. Would you, for Christ's sake?
Can't we
Everyone's
all just
depressed
live together?
And, yeah.
How does that go?
Get along.
Yeah, get along.
Yeah. Make some friends. All right. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, buddy. Love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. Lisa Loeb.
Huh?
Lisa Loeb in Tuesday.
Oh.
And Wednesday, Jenna Jameson. Well, I'll tell you, if you're a guy, you're going to like one or the other of them or something in between because they represent the sort of spectrum of women.
Mm.
You got that sort of cute little minx, Lisa Loeb, she's like an elf, but cute. Mm. You know what I mean? And then you got that sort of blonde, big fake boob, sex kitten.
Really?
Jameson.
Fake? My goodness.
I think they're fake, but there was something there before. And we have to get into that with her.
Oh, I'm sure she'll. Full disclosure is always the rule with those guys.
Yeah. You have to sign some sort of, you have to take some sort of oath where you can't lie or do drugs before you get into pornography. Most of them adhere to it.
Yeah.
They're really like the Freemasons or something. It's a fraternal thing.
There's something secret going on. She seems to be all over the news though because
I don't think she's got a book out about guys she's banged.
Is that what that is?
I don't know. So it's like celebrity. You got to feel sorry for these poor celebrities.
I wouldn't know.
Well, I mean, you know, you're some guy at a party, and, you know, there's Jenna Jameson, and you're Charlie Sheen, and you hit her up, and, well, maybe not Charlie Sheen. Everyone knows what he's up to.
Right.
But I'd say you're nice. You know, most men have a drive, even the so-called good ones, the nice ones, family ones. And they get hooked up and whatever, and then 5 years later, a book comes out.
One of the Baldwin brothers. You could use that for an example.
Yeah.
The guy that hit you over the head with the Bible.
Yeah. Oh, that was on Stern. Is that what you're talking about?
No, I was here.
When he was here?
Did you do that in Stern, too?
I did Stern with Stephen Baldwin about 3 weeks ago.
He's still...
Hit me with the Bible again. Still preaching.
That's good.
Still sharing the good news.
Yeah.
Are you ready to rock, Bruce?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm ready to rock.
Bruce filling in for Drew, by the way. Board certified, all the same stuff. Drew back tomorrow night. Quickly, because Bruce does all his laser business and does all that nonsense for the ladies. Saw a thing on, I don't know, 2020 or whatever it was over the weekend. I watch those. You know, when I'm not watching the History Channel, watching all the thing about Hitler, I like to watch those magazine shows. Mm-hmm. And they did a whole test on things that claim to get rid of cellulite.
Ah, mesotherapy.
They did the, no, they didn't do the mesotherapy, so quiet. But that was something else. That's the injections,
right?
That may work.
It does. I do that.
All right, but quiet. Here's the three options they gave you. They gave you some sort of laser thing.
Endermology.
Yeah, some kind of laser zappy, whatever, clinic-y thing. Had to get 15 or 20 sessions.
That's not a laser.
Then they gave the topical cream stuff.
Don't work.
And then they gave some sort of... exercise shoes where you put them on and it's like running in sand and it stimulates to whatever. All three, just a big zero.
Hmm.
Just before and after pictures, exactly the same as they were 6 weeks earlier before they started the treatment.
Yeah, the endermology thing, it's like rollers and a suction, a vacuum.
Yeah,
and you roll
right.
over
it's not a laser.
It's FDA approved as possibly beneficial.
Here's the whole thing. Here's what I'm saying to everybody. The pills you take to make your penis bigger, the pills you take to make your boobs bigger, the cream you rub on to get rid of your dimply thigh fat and all that stuff. If it's easy and it doesn't cost anything and no one's cutting into you and there's not some $500,000 thing that runs off at $220, it ain't working. Mm-hmm. If you think you just get yourself some mail order pills and make the dork bigger or the thighs nicer, forget about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. I won't get into the suction thing for the dork.
Oh, suction thing. Well, the suction
or
thing.
Or traction.
Well, look, if you want to hang a 10-pound weight from your penis and you want to do it for the next 3 years, you'll get a little bit of extra length out of it.
Right.
I mean, look.
There is some stimulation of cell growth, linear.
Look, I know, because my right nostril's bigger from picking it while I drive. And I know I've blown it out. Just all the years of me augering it out with my left index finger. You see, look at this. Visibly bigger. Yeah. Oh, shut up. You don't see anything. Chris, can you tell which nostril I've picked more?
No.
See, good. Good answer.
Chris is a setup. He's not going to be honest.
Susan?
Hi.
You're 20?
Yes.
All right. What's up?
Hi.
Hi. You getting out of your car?
Yeah, hold on. I'm sorry. I don't want to have the radio on.
Yeah. Let me say something about these cars. Do we need all the goddamn buzzers? Like, okay, the key's in. I know. I'm taking it out. How about a little delay? How about this? You can't lock your keys in your car anymore, really. They're all worked out that way. Do I need the buzzers going off for everything all the time? How about... here's what I want to say. How about a car where I can flip... You give me a choice. I don't want the buzzer. I don't want the thing where the lights are on. I don't want the thing where the door's ajar. I don't want the thing where the thing's off and the ignition. I don't want all the there's nothing worse than that thing where you shut your car and then you're like talking to someone through the window. It's like, meep, meep, meep. And you're like, yeah. And about the 26-1, you start freaking out.
Yeah. Well, it should be like your cell phone. You could program it in.
Yeah, just shut it off.
These things are all computers. What's wrong with
these
people?
Just put a little switch on the thing. A little toggle just program it in. Or how about you just... Yeah, when you buy the car from the dealer, he says, you want the super annoying, repetitive beeping thing going off all the time? And by the way, the one that goes off to tell you your lights have been left on, it's useless because you tune out all beeps
right,
now.
Right.
My wife ran the battery out of her car. Listen, let me tell you something about women. What's going on with their brains? My wife gets out of the car. She leaves the lights on. And, of course, the battery's dead the next morning. And her take is the key's bad. There's something wrong with the key to the car. But the point is she got out of the car with all the beeping going on, and you just tune it out.
Right.
You just ignore it. Anyway, yeah. And then I went down to check it, and the first thing I did was check to see what position the light switch is in, which she had switched back and made no mention of it.
Oh.
So she switches the light switch to back to automatic right. from the manual one where they were on, doesn't say anything and keeps saying to me, I think the key's bad. The key's bad. Then tries the second key, tries the spare key, and announces that one's bad too.
Well, that's a bad sign.
We got to get you into clinical research, sweetie pea. No, both keys aren't bad.
Yeah.
Both keys are doing the same thing. That means they're both good. They didn't both go bad overnight. And secondly, so I had to go down. So I'm like, what is going on? Was the light switch where? No, I flipped it back.
Oh, she told you. Luckily, you asked her. You thought it's an electrical problem, and you'd have been...
I know when a car battery's gone, and I know what drives them out. But the point is, don't want to pipe up that you actually took the light switch and put it from the picture of the headlight and switched it back to the auto position.
But your wife's one of the nicest people I know. What
she's
I think,
delight,
they should put a moron chip in smoke detectors.
No, she's no Columbo.
They should put a moron chip in smoke detectors so people could turn off the beeper when the battery runs out, because they don't change them anyway.
All right.
How do you like that?
Nah, I give it a 5.
All right.
Susan?
Yes.
All right. Now, see, your car got us going. So you're out of the car, and let's see. Boyfriend keeps coming after. Oh, wait a minute. Boyfriend keeps coming after he orgasms during oral sex.
Yes.
He keeps going after he orgasms when he receives oral sex?
Yes. Yeah.
What does that mean, he keeps
well,
going?
Well, what happens is, okay, I'm giving him oral sex, and uh-huh. he has his first orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
After that's gone, he's like, keep going. So just recently I started, you know, I would keep going after that, mm-hmm. and there's a liquid. It's not so much of what came out the first time.
Yeah.
It's more of a liquid that comes out the second time. And
tranny fluid.
Yeah, and yeah. I'm
bad
really
seal.
Wondering what it is.
Can you make this into more of a car analogy for Adam?
Yeah, no, and would he, does he feel a second orgasm?
He said it feels like pressure is being released. So it doesn't quite feel like the first one.
How old is he?
Something. He's 22.
I mean, does it feel good or is it just pressure
released? Yeah, he said it feels good. It feels good.
Well, how long were we talking about? 30 seconds or 2 minutes?
No, what'll happen is like, the fluid will come out for maybe a few seconds and it'll stop and then it'll go again and it'll stop for as long as I go, it'll go.
Hold on.
Wait, there's not enough of any of those fluids. I hope it's not
maybe,
the bladder releasing.
Maybe he's tapped into some hopper that's underneath the bed. I'll do that once in a while. I'll have a 22-gallon hopper fluid. It's a viscous material. I keep under the bed, and I'll just run a tube up through the box ring, through the mesh, into my anus, and actually feed it out my urethra, and chicks will be freaked out. Like, oh, my God, I'm swimming in fluid here. Where is this all coming from? Like, hey, just how God made me, baby.
That's really... Is he on any medic?
Okay. No,
is he on any medication? Because there are medications that could affect the duration and intensity of orgasm and cause something like this.
High blood pressure, so he takes pills for that. But I was just wondering, I was more concerned. He said it doesn't, that's what I was asking if it might be urine. And he it doesn't feel the same when he urinates.
No, it's not urine. You would know if it was urine.
Well, it doesn't. It's not.
No, it's. I mean, that can happen where if you continue stimulation after an orgasm, you can have urine.
Well,
come out.
Let's just figure something out. You give him oral sex, and he has an orgasm.
Right.
And then he still has an erection, and he says, "Keep going."
Right.
God bless you, by the way, for keep going.
So he maintains his erection during this whole process.
Right, yeah.
Yes. And he says, keep going, and then a few moments later, more fluid follows?
Yes.
Just seconds later.
Just probably maybe 10, 15 seconds later.
10, 15 seconds later, right. Here comes the second round of fluid.
Yeah.
Wow, what a saint we're speaking to, by the way. And then the fecal matter comes.
No.
But I stay with it. What a gal. All right. And then the fluid comes. Now, this fluid is clear. And
you know what? I don't know what color it is.
Lights are off and you're drunk. So the fluid keeps coming, and that fluid will keep coming indefinitely.
No, it's only happened, the longest it's happened maybe is about 4 times, and then that's when I'm like, okay, well, it pretty much stopped after that.
Well, what do you mean 4 times?
Like, he'll have his first orgasm, and then it'll go for about maybe 10, maybe 5, 10 seconds, and then it'll stop. And then it'll start again, and it'll stop. So it's done that about 4 times.
All right. Oh, my God.
I just think it's something to do with medication.
And he might...
How old is
this guy? He's 22.
He's 22 with high blood pressure?
And by the way, 22, you do that. Like, you're getting a BJ, you orgasm, you're like, no, keep going. Keep going. When you get about our age, like, don't touch me. Don't look at me. That's it. Just take the money and leave. Just keep walking. Shut the door.
You're married. How can you
I never want another blowjob. That's it. I'm done. Fat. Say fat to blowjobs. Oh, there. Yeah. You got a calf cramp. You're dehydrated. You got to get something to eat. You don't get into that keep going.
Yeah, no. Definitely...
You think you're going to do that keep going halfway into it.
Right.
You're like, oh, I'm going. This is definitely two.
Yeah.
I'm going for two. One ain't going to be enough. Two. I mean, and then it's like, all right, what's on TV? What's that TiVo? We got TiVo set up for.
Right.
Do you ever do that, Bruce?
Absolutely.
Do you ever do that? I'm going for two.
Yeah.
This babe's maybe a hat trick, and then it's like, All right.
Well, take the money or run, or turn it off immediately.
Thank you.
This is boring now.
All right.
Hope my 4-year-old's not listening still.
No. She is fine.
Okay.
We don't know what the sex of
the
child is yet.
Susan?
Yeah.
I think Susan Shower.
He should get
collect a sample and have the doctor check him and the sample out.
High blood pressure, 22. Bad sign.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, lesbian girlfriend has been cheating. Yeah?
Kissing others.
I just said cheating. Would you quite?
Oh.
Do you understand? You just watered it down.
Okay.
Upgrade it. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm afraid I blew it for that one, but...
All right. Well, who knows what she's been doing besides kissing? That's just where it starts.
Ah.
Uh-huh. Yes?
Yeah, and there's always violence involved in these situations.
Gratuitous.
That's right.
All right.
Hostages.
We'll take it easy now. You're getting weird. Take it... Ooh. There's a 36 double D call. It's advice for dealing with big boobs at a young age. All right, hold on. Dr. Bruce in for Dr. Drew. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew and doing a yeoman's job.
Yo, man.
is that a nautical thing, the yeoman?
Oh.
Doing a yeoman's
job. That's a History Channel question.
Yeah, I think it's one of those sort of ships of the line thing.
Yeah,
I think it's one of those old sailing things.
Yeah, stern aft yeoman.
He's doing a yeoman's job. Chris, look up yeoman. No, not yo man.
Yeah.
Yeoman. And while you're there, find out what a boatswain's mate is, too.
No, that's a good one.
Every guy I ever met who's in the Navy, it's like, what'd you do? Boatswain's mate? What is that? I can't tell you.
Yeah. I was going to say.
First off, it's like boatswain.
Yeah.
You'd think it was boatsman, but it's like boatswain, and I have no idea what they do.
Yeah.
To me, that means you do nothing. You just hang out.
Yeah.
You clean stuff.
Probably.
Look up boatswain and look up yeoman. Let's go.
Let's do a Google search.
Come on. Get on the Google.
Put in yeoman.
Sarah?
Yeah.
All right. So you're 16.
Yeah.
And you're a lesbian?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened? You angry at dad? You get molested? What turned you into a lesbian?
I don't know. I just think penis is disgusting.
Yeah.
The thought of it makes me sick.
Listen, you lesbians who want to make an argument against the male genitalia, focus on the scrotum. That's a disaster.
Wait, you're
penis, not so bad.
You're 16?
Scrotum. That's a war zone.
How do you know what you are when you're 16? You need to just relax.
She's just angry at her
dad. When did you start having sex with other females?
Last year.
Yeah.
And
all right. Now, folks, were you ever molested?
No.
You angry at your dad?
No. My dad's really religious.
He's really, 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 really religious?
Yeah, his whole side family is.
Oh, well, it's payback time.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, really religious.
He'd hate that.
Sounds. Is he really legalistic? Is it like, if you do this, you're bad. If you don't do that, you're bad, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of rules, not a lot of love. What?
Like, if you're going to do this, you're going to go to hell.
Yeah, all right. Well, look, here's what I would recommend. Are you white?
Yeah.
Find yourself a nice black lesbian or maybe a Puerto Rican lesbian to really piss your dad off. That'll really get him.
Yeah.
The lesbian thing is good. That's a start. You know, it's a good 7.
Yeah.
But you want to make that 7 a 10? Find somebody with a crazy nationality. And then les off with them, and your dad will really be pissed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they don't like that either.
Yeah. So, Sarah.
Yeah.
You're 16. Here's the bottom line. You don't establish your sexual identity at 16.
She's a lesbian. Don't get
pregnant. Well, somebody's cheating. How do you cheat when you're 16? You don't form these relationships where you're. It's not like
Sarah,
you're married.
Do you have a girlfriend?
Yeah.
And she's kissing other girls.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, listen.
I don't really believe
it sounds like a
call.
Bogus call to me.
When I was in California, she cheated on me with some other girl. Was like screaming and stuff.
Okay, I have no idea what she's saying. Listen, Sarah, and her line's all screwed up, so I'm hanging up on her.
Well, this one's...
No, look, we got some big boobs down here.
Oh, yeah.
We got two sets of big boobs. Lisa?
Hi.
36 double D?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Ooh. Actually, I'm a little smaller. I'm a little girl. Like, the girl who called in earlier, she's like 5'10". I'm 5'2".
Mm-hmm. 5'2".
Yeah. And
so you've gone through the abuse that she was describing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had some advice for her.
Hold on.
I think I enjoyed it, though. You know, I was really flirty.
We had the, that's fabulous advice. We had a 14-year-old who was developing large breasts, who was getting a lot of unwanted attention from males, and she called in about an hour ago. Lisa is going to give her some advice about going through that same thing herself, but her advice is enjoy it.
Well, somewhat. Also, if she said she weighed like 125 pounds, mm-hmm. and she's a 38. Mm-hmm. I think she's wearing the wrong size bra.
Had this discussion with Bruce on the way to the restaurant.
Yeah, Adam was exactly saying that. So you're...
she should. Yeah, I said it on the air. You're not supposed to be a 38 if you're built like a beanpole, are you?
Yeah, because
no. All right. Oh, wait a minute.
She'd probably fit in one of Lisa's bras.
Lisa, what are you?
I'm actually like a 34 triple D, but it is impossible to find something like that.
Mm-hmm. So you're 5'2", and are you petite? How much do you weigh?
Yeah, I'm little. I weigh like 113.
Mm. Oh, this is killing me. When are you going to be 18?
4 months.
That's enough. You got a boyfriend?
No, actually, I just got out of like a 3-year relationship.
Mm. Very nice. All right. Well, you'll do fine, though, right?
Yeah. I think also, like, I know when I was 14, like, the biggest thing that really bothered me about my breasts was that, because, you know, when they first come in, stretch marks is a really big problem.
Yeah.
And, like, I know I didn't wear anything that showed any sort of cleavage because my cleavage was, like, purple and red.
Stretch marky. And the stretch marks diminished over the years?
Yeah, they do. And, like, now they're, like, completely gone. You can't even tell.
Right.
Well, you got to prove it. All right.
That's good radio. Adam.
That's great radio. I can't help it. I'm a boob man. I know she's young. All right, but in other cultures, women are married by 15. Come on. You know, ancient Roman civilizations, old guys would routinely sodomize young lads. It was fine.
It's a dream, Adam. It's just a dream.
I know. I like when people have to go back a few thousand years to justify their behavior. Guys used to conk women over the head and drag them into the cave. Come on. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Well, Bruce just got off the internet. We found out that yeomen was basically from old England, and they protected the royalty. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of a yeoman is like a guard, beef eater, almost a Secret Service agent would be a yeoman today. Yes?
So I did a yeoman's job, huh?
Yes, you did.
Well, protecting the royalty.
I think the phrase got
twisted
around
the royal jewels.
And boatswain's mate is just the guy on the ship that...
the foreman.
He paints. You know, that's the boatswain.
The mate, right.
It's the guy's underneath him.
Yeah.
He's doing the mopping, he's doing the painting, he's doing the scrubbing. While everyone else is firing the guns and nailing the hot Hawaiian chicks.
So I'm Dr. Drew's proverbial...
You'd be my boatswain's mate and my yeoman. All right, Bruce, wonderful job as usual. Dr. Drew back in tomorrow night. I almost said Bruce, and until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Bruce. Say mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.